Well, this morning we are continuing our series on practicing the way of Jesus, looking at the things that Jesus practiced and or promoted to the people that he came in contact with, especially his disciples. So far, we've looked at the idea of trust and how that was foundational to Jesus's ministry. Mike talked to you about silence and solitude, and then Diane talked to you about the marginalized. And last week, I talked to you about prayer. Well, today we're looking at the idea of service, the idea of serving other people. And once again, this is a very foundational thing. I think many of the things that we're looking at in this series are foundational to Jesus' ministry, or in some ways, if not foundational, they are certainly an expression as a result of the foundation. Over coming weeks, next week in particular, Cara will come in to talk to you on the examen or the examine. And then we've got a few more weeks before we finish the series. So this morning, as we come to this idea of service, I guess we need to look at the question as, what does it mean to serve? What do we mean by service? Well, a dictionary definition of serving is the action of helping or doing work for somebody. The action of helping or doing work for somebody. It's where we take something that we have and we invest it to the good of another. We don't do it for ourselves, we do it for others. One of the words that is often used in the New Testament to describe this is a word that we use for ministering. The idea of ministering to another. Once again, you use what you have to be able to encourage, to lift up, to help, to assist somebody else. That is called ministering to them. The interesting thing is, in the passage that we have before us today, towards the end of it, in verse 16, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master." And that word servant is not actually a word that means simply helping or doing work for somebody. It's not a word that means ministering. It's actually the word that in the New Testament, depending on your version, is often translated as servant, but is also possibly more accurately translated as slave. The idea of serving is very much where we submit ourselves to somebody else's needs because we've chosen to. Now, slaves obviously didn't have a choice. That's why they are a slave. Nobody chooses to be a slave in the normal sense of the word, but within the kingdom of God and the kingdom and the way that Jesus practiced and promoted, we actually choose to make ourselves slaves to others. We are here to serve. Now, this is a very strange concept maybe to get our head around initially. The interesting thing is that the word submit is used in the New Testament in a number of places. We're told to submit to one another. That means to place ourselves under somebody else. In the time that Paul wrote that in Ephesians, that was a time where if you were below another, it was probably because you were a slave. And yet, it also, if we're to understand it fully in the way Paul understands it, I think, as he is somebody who follows the way of Jesus, is that when we submit ourselves to somebody else, we put ourselves below them with the purpose of supporting them. That is what serving is. We lift others up by coming underneath them and helping and supporting. Well, I've got four points in the sermon this morning for us to look at. I don't think any of them are particularly long. We'll get into it, this idea of service. Well, the first point that I want to make is that this is something Jesus did, and we see that very much in our passage this morning. When we come to the end of the passage, towards the end, in verse 12, Jesus asks them a question. So Jesus has washed the feet of the disciples. In some ways, a very strange act for a teacher, a rabbi, to do for those that are his disciples. They are actually below him. And yet Jesus places himself below the ones who are below him. And he asks this question, "Do you understand what I have done for you?" What is it that he has done? He has served. He has been a servant to them. And so Jesus sets us an example. And one of the things it really highlights is that Jesus does this. Jesus is actually the master. They call him master, and it's right that they do that, and yet he serves. Jesus is somebody who serves. Jesus also says to them, I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet. And so this idea that Jesus did it, but it's not just that Jesus did it, it's also the reality that even Jesus did it. If you look at the passage in its fullness, right at the beginning of chapter 13, we're told that this is just before the Passover feast, and Jesus knows that the time has come for him to leave the world and go to the Father. This is a time when Jesus has a lot on his mind, and yet even Jesus at this time, when he's preoccupied, still serves his disciples. But not only that, it also says that Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father, and that the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. The context we have in all four of the Gospels is that at this time, Jesus is fully aware that Judas is going to betray him, but also that every one of these disciples, the people whose feet he is washing, are going to leave him. They're going to desert him. Peter will deny him three times. And yet even Jesus serves these people. And so one of the things that we need to realize is this way of Jesus, the way that Jesus practiced, is our the act of serving another is and should not be dependent on where they are in relation to us, or for that matter, what their attitude towards us might be. Jesus, if we look at the beginning of Colossians, and of course we're in the book of Colossians earlier this year, it has this amazing picture in Colossians 1, doesn't it, of who Jesus is. He's the one that has created everything. Everything that has been made has actually been made for him, by him, and finds its place in him. And yet we have him, even him, serving the disciples who would betray and leave him. And so it really does, I hope, give us pause for a minute to remind ourselves when we wonder, is there somebody we should be serving? Should we really, perhaps this person that we don't like, or they grate on us, or they're annoying, or whatever it might be, maybe it's just simply because they are below us in some role. We need to be reminded that Jesus would encourage us to serve them. The second point is that you will be blessed by doing it. You know, I actually don't like the idea of going on and on about how treating people in a nice way is nicer for us. It shouldn't become the motive to do it. If it is, then it actually undermines the purity of that motive. And yet Jesus does highlight this reality, but I don't think it's simply to get them to do it. I think it's to instead underline the reality of what it is like to practice the way of Jesus. Practicing the way of Jesus is a way that is a way of blessing. And so at the end, and we're looking at the very last verse the last verse in our reading this morning, verse 17, it says, now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. This idea of being blessed. It's interesting that there's in Mark chapter 9 a time where Jesus is talking to the disciples and he calls them to him, and he says, sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, and this is Mark 9:35, says, if anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all. Just to unpack what Jesus is saying there, if you want to be the first, now what is the first? I think what Jesus is saying is if you want to be somebody who is blessed, somebody who is living life to the full, somebody who is the first, he must be the very last in relation to where he places himself with other people. The person who will be first in this life is the person who serves people in this life. And so the first point is that Jesus, even Jesus, did it. The second point is that we're going to be blessed if we follow his practice. But thirdly, is to just for a second look at the nature of this practice. It's love in action, or if you like, it's a love reaction. The way of Jesus is a way of love, and love is something that comes from somewhere. God, apparently, in 1 John 4, is love. And so where is love going to come from? Indeed, where is the source of all good things? It is God. And so Jesus, as he walks the way of service, is walking a way that is a way that is founded on and built on and an expression of love. In Luke chapter 7, there is this story that you might remember, a woman, a very sinful woman. We make the assumption that she was a prostitute. Comes to Jesus. It's in the home of a very important, special religious person. And in Luke 7:38, it says that she stood behind Jesus at his feet weeping. And the interesting thing is that this is another foot washing episode. And this, at this point, Jesus is having his feet washed. It says that she was weeping and she began to wet his feet with her tears. This lady is a bit of a mess. She's crying, tears are pouring from her eyes. They're falling on the feet of Jesus. And so as they do that, she takes her hair and she wipes her tears from his feet. But then with a whole lot of emotion, she doesn't stop there. She then finds that she is leaning down and she is kissing his feet. And she has some perfume, and this causes a bit of an issue because it's very expensive perfume. And she pours the perfume on Jesus' feet. And all this is happening in the home of this very religious person. And Jesus knows what people are thinking. I mean, surely, if this guy is any sort of rabbi of worth, he's going to know that this woman's a prostitute. And yet, look at what he is letting her do. And Jesus makes it clear that this woman has clearly been forgiven of a lot. He also makes it very clear that the teacher of the law, whose house he is in... So as this woman is washing Jesus' feet, he says she's obviously been forgiven for a lot. Because when somebody's forgiven a lot, they love a lot. And what is the result that we see here? This woman bends down and, in the case of Jesus, recognizes her place below Jesus. And she shows this love for him in her service of him. Service is something that is best done from a place of love. It's best done with that foundation of love. Jesus says about her, "Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she has loved much." And so in our passage, Jesus is here. He's decided he's going to wash their feet. And one of the things that Jesus has taught his disciples in Matthew 20, 25 to 28, is that it's the way of the world to place people over other people. He says, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them, but not so with you." He says, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus outlines that there isn't supposed to be this way with his followers. This is not the way of Jesus to put yourself above somebody else. The way of Jesus is to serve. It's his way. It's a way of love because it's the way that he walked when he gave his life as a ransom for many. He made it very clear to his disciples, the greatest act of love that one can do for another is to lay down their life for another. And so in our passage this morning, this is the context that Jesus comes to this foot washing event. He says, "Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love." So please note, this act of foot washing by Jesus was not just simply an object lesson. It was not just a corny illustration. It was a demonstration of his love. It also fully represents and points to what Christ would do on a cross, where he would wash them clean. And so that's the first three things. Jesus did it. You'll be blessed if you do it. It's love in action, or if you like, it is a love reaction. It's a response to love. But the fourth and final point is this, that when it comes to us and this way of Jesus that involves service, we need to realize that we can only give what we have received. Now, we can only serve if we've been served. We can only show grace if we've received grace. We can only give love if we have love within us to give. You can only give what you have received. And so there's this interesting exchange in this foot washing story, and it's one that I have always been puzzled by, and I don't know if I fully understand it yet. But in verse 7 it says, you know, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand, when it when he answers Peter's question as to, are you really going to wash my feet? And so Peter says, no. He says, you shall never wash my feet. And yet Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. One of the things that I think is happening here is quite simply this. Peter's like, no, you're not going to serve me. I'm not going to be the one who receives love from you. You're the Lord. You're the rabbi. You're the master. I am not going to have you serve me. And Jesus makes it really clear, if I don't serve you, then we have a problem. If I don't serve you, then first of all, you're not going to be washed clean. There's not going to be the opportunity for forgiveness. But the other thing is, you're not going to know what love truly is. You can't serve others if you have not allowed me to serve you. In verse 17, I think this is emphasized, though it's very easy to read over it and miss it. It says, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. The understanding in the day at that time was to know something was to have experienced it. Now that you have experienced my service, my love for you, then you'll be blessed if you do it. Try and do it without knowing it, without having experienced it, and then we could have a problem. It is possible that your motives will be mixed up and you won't be doing it from a foundation of love. You'll be doing it from some other place. One of the things that I really want to say, because I've just been so encouraged by this, we were talking to Micah earlier this morning. I really want to thank people who have been so generous in what they've donated for the international students at Macquarie Uni. I want to say thank you for the people who have helped out. I love watching people serve from our church. And that's just one way that people in our church have served in recent times. There are other ways that they serve and continue to serve. One of the reasons it warms my heart is because as I see people step into that act of service of others, it reminds me that they have been served by Jesus. That's the thing that helps them step into that role of service, having been served by Jesus. So the question I have for you this morning is, have you received? There's this rhythm that Jesus lives as he practices the way that he walks. And that is where he disengages from the world and he engages with the Father. We looked at that a bit last week with the way Jesus had his prayer life and would go away and be with the Father. He disengages from the world. He steps back from those who are around him and he steps towards the Father. Why does he do that? He does that so he can receive. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because God first loved us. We need to disengage from the world at some point so that we can come to the Father, we can come and sit at the foot of the cross, we can sense and feel and live and experience and remind ourselves of the love of Jesus. We can love so that we can, and it has a purpose, therefore re-enter the world and to have something to offer as we do that. And this is the way of Jesus: disengage from the world, but engage with the Father, and then re-engage with the world, bringing to the world what he had received from the Father. And so the question I have for this morning is, how are you going to disengage? When will you do that? When will you spend time with the Father? But then my next question is, then when will you engage? Because believe it or not, Jesus says, now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. It's actually moving into the way of Jesus is where we find the blessing. It's not simply in disengaging and coming to the Father. It's where our life changes to the point of action. I want to give you a very brief story of just an example of this. I have a farmer friend, and some of you came out to Gilgandra and Warren with us last year when we went to serve people out there by helping financially and just doing some work and things like that for people out there during the drought. Just as we look out there at this time of the year right now, we wouldn't believe there was a drought 12 months ago, but there was. But there was a property that we went to on that mission trip, and we went there on the Friday night for a bonfire. And that person, this is a story about that person, so I don't know if any of you remember Ross, whose property we were on. But Ross has a neighbour, Bruce. Bruce was also there at that bonfire. And Ross and Bruce, both as farmers who live next to each other, share some equipment. They have, instead of each of them buying a certain type of plough, and I think from memory this is a story about a plough, they would actually share it. And so Bruce rang Ross one day and said, look, you've got the plough, I need the plough. I'm be doing some ploughing this morning. Ross said, oh yeah, what paddock will you be ploughing? And he said, told him. And he said, well, Ross said, look, I'll bring the plough over for you. I'll have it up there for you. What time are you going to start? I'll have all that sorted. Bruce had a good night's sleep. He gets up. He goes up to that paddock where he's expecting to find the plough. And what do you know? The plough is there. The thing that he didn't expect to find was that all these acres had been ploughed. Ross had gone up as soon as he'd hung up. He got in the tractor, hooked up the plough, and fueled up his tractor and went up, and he ploughed. He spent the whole night ploughing Bruce's paddock for him. Why? Why would he serve his neighbour in that way? Ross had a love for his neighbour. He had a desire to bless him. He had a willingness to place himself at that point below his neighbour so that he could serve. And so the question, another question for us this week is, how is it we're going to re-engage with the world? Where are we going to serve? Where are those opportunities? Because Bruce didn't dream that anything like that would have happened, but Ross was alive, awakened, and open, I imagine, to the prompting of the Holy Spirit at that point, as to how it is that he could serve Bruce. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your amazing love for us, that you would send your Son Jesus to die on a cross that we might live. We want to thank you for the humility that he has shown, that he would take the form of a servant, that he would take the form of a slave, and that he would die in service for me, for us. We pray, Heavenly Father, for at times this week that we might come to you and be reminded of that, that we might soak up the reality, the truth, that we are loved by you. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to go out from here into the world, to love, to serve. And we pray, Lord, that you would strengthen us as we do that, and that we would be blessed as we find the place that you have made for us as your people, practicing your way, serving the world in which we live. In Jesus' name, amen.